This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Philip C. And joining me in this murky Monday morning in the studio today...
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. It felt
please,
like Monday.
Please don't rewind the week.
Well, joining me today is Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. It's 7:06 in the morning on Wednesday, the 20th of April. First, how did markets close yesterday?
So, US market Dow was up 1.5%, S&P 500 up 1.6%, Nasdaq up 2.2%. Asian markets, Nikkei up 0.7%, Hang Seng down 2.3%, Shanghai Composite closed flat, SCI up 0.1%, and FBM KLC was closed.
A green day in the United States, mixed picture in Asian markets. So, for further analysis on what's moving markets, we speak to Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist of ACY Securities. A very good morning to you, Clifford. Now, Clifford, in one of your written commentaries, you talk about a serious stock market rout becoming a very real possibility. What macro factors are leading you to that conclusion?
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Look, it's a very difficult environment at the moment to call equity markets, but I think people just need to keep in the back of their mind that there is a possibility of a deepening decline in global equity markets. We could see it mostly impacting, of course, European markets, because Europe is very likely headed for a recession, whereas the United States has only risk of recession at this point, and China might have a brief touch-and-go recession as well. But I do feel that markets have yet to fully price the impact of an ongoing long war into next year, unfortunately, in Ukraine is a very real possibility. And elevated commodity prices will continue to sort of flow around the world and create inflation pretty much everywhere. And we also have, of course, the prospect of some supply chain disruption, particularly out of China at the moment. That is going to be rather profound because there's a lot of linkages there to almost every product we buy these days. And as the world's biggest port is closed at the moment, we will see some sort of interruption from there as well. So whilst everyone wants to be very excited and bullish about equity markets, I think, you know, given World Bank, IMF, actually, when they raised their growth forecast not so long ago, I said they'll be unwinding those that view. And that's certainly what they've been doing in the past week, slashing their growth rate forecast for next year, this year and next year, both the IMF and the World Bank. And I think they are probably behind the curve. We have to understand that there are some challenges.
So, Clifford, does it mean that a global recession is going to happen? Maybe, let's say, not now, but in the next 18, 24 months, we've seen the US yield curve invert and, of course, the Chinese economy slowing down.
Yes, good points. I think if we are going to see I don't think we're going to see a global recession, but we could see a kind of Northern Hemisphere recession, where actually parts of Asia are more insulated than other parts of the world. And I think Africa and South America are probably going to have their own sort of stories of growth from a low base at the moment. But I'm very confident, unfortunately, that Europe is going into recession. I think the US experiencing high inflation and higher interest rates, and they will be aggressive interest rates. I expect the next sort of 5 to 7 meetings of the Fed to see 50 point hikes. So I'm really at the aggressive end of forecasts on that. And I think you will see a reaction in the domestic economy in the US. Consumer confidence in the US is at the moment about where it was at the worst point of the GFC. So things are not as rosy as perhaps Wall Street people like to paint Main Street. Main Street in the USA is beginning to struggle a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think the China slowdown, and it's a good point about China, I think they will have a recession, but, you know, the expression for a plane doing a touch and go, I think it will be a touch and go recession. So it might be a technical recession or only one quarter of negative growth, perhaps two quarters of negative growth. But then I see as eventually, but it won't be as soon as we would like, but eventually the COVID restrictions are removed and any necessary government support by way of interest rates and other measures will eventuate. So I do see China coming out of all this first, and I do see much of Asia sort of treading water, if you like, as Europe particularly, but then the USA, face some challenges.
The Aussie dollar has been a tearaway due to rising commodity prices and notions of it being a safe haven. What are the possibilities of further appreciation against the US dollar? And where do you see short-term support and resistance levels?
Okay, I guess when we're looking at the Aussie against the US dollar, we all, and it's this is relevant to the ringgit as well. I mean, we have to consider that whilst it may not actually be appropriate in this modern world, many investors around the world still view the US dollar as a safe haven currency. So I think as the economic situation deteriorates, more and more funds will flow towards that US dollar, which will put pressure on most currencies. The euro will probably remain the weakest currency. I think the Australian dollar has had a very good run on the commodity price gain story, but that run might have already reached its conclusion. I'm actually advising people that the Australian dollar could go sideways to down from here, but there is going to be volatility. I mean, these are unprecedented times. We have a war, we have high inflation, we have commodity scarcity, actual scarcity in food and energy is a real risk going forward. And I'm not sure markets are fully comprehending. I see the boom in commodities as and we've just seen oil and gold drop overnight, but it might drop for another 1 to 3 days. But I do think those markets can go a lot higher, and that will support the Australian dollar. But it's sort of it's torn between these two forces of global demand slowing, even though you have higher commodity prices. Plus, we have one of the world's slowest central banks, if I may say. So we will be further and further behind the US in terms of interest rate differentials. A lot of people are already long the Australian dollar. I would be cautious of the further Australian dollar appreciation.
Okay, I want to talk about one more currency, and that's the yen. It's dropped for the 14th straight day. And when I look at the cross between the US dollar, it's inching up to 130. Do you have any views on this, on the Japanese currency?
Yes, I'm sorry I wasn't on your show a couple of months ago. I was very bullish to the yen. But I do think it has come a long way. And by the way, I think it's absolutely fantastic for the Japanese economy. And this could really be the catalyst that finally kicks Japan into a higher gear. It's struggled for quite some time, we know, sort of plateaued. So I think this is going to be a major boost for the Japanese economy. Has it further to run? I do believe it has. I think it's a situation where it's hard to see why you would be buying the Japanese currency at the moment. But I do think if within 1 to 2 weeks, we should look for a base in the Japanese yen as it has had such a big move, as you've pointed out. But people are selling the Japanese yen because they think that Japan's economy will be in trouble. But the bizarre nature of that is that the fall in the currency will actually be a significant boon to the Japanese economy.
And Clifford, one cannot forget about US dollar. It's currently the unassailable safe haven. But how long will King Dollar reign? Because we see this whole trend of de-dollarization happening, right, as a result of the Russian-Ukraine conflict, even before that, right? Are we talking here mid or long term?
Well, I think we're speaking medium term. But my concern is, what if we have an ongoing long period of commodity supply disruption, and that could keep the US dollar elevated as a safe haven? Since sort of 2009, I've been arguing that the world would move over 15 to 20 years towards three equal reserve currencies, they being the yuan, the euro, and the US dollar. And we've certainly seen shifts in that direction. I gave a speech at APEC in 2012 arguing that. And I do think we are headed in that direction, and more, particularly in the private sector, but it will be a case for government institutions around the world too to have a more balanced currency portfolio, the three heavyweights being euro, yuan, and US dollar in a more equal way. So there are significant forces that suggest the US dollar is overvalued long term, but as you've pointed out and well assessed, in the medium term and perhaps quite an extended medium term, the US dollar will continue to be firm.
Thank you, Clifford. That was Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist at ACY Securities, I think giving us the lay of the land of the different currencies that took place.
Yeah, definitely yen seeing a lot of pressure. Actually, it's good for the stock market. It's inversely correlated. But something that's dipping is, of course, Netflix shares, right? They actually created more than 25% this morning after the company reported a loss of 200,000 subscribers, a first in a decade for them. And not so good, because what does this mean for future earnings and future growth?
And the company also said it expects the decreases to continue, forecasting a global paid subscriber loss of 2 million for the second quarter. Earnings per share was at $3.53 versus $2.89 expected by analysts. Revenue was at $7.87 billion versus $7.93 billion expected.
Well, let's unpack, right, the reasons why we see this decline, because it is unprecedented. You know, we've always framed this as growth stocks. This is a function of the reopening story, that as people reopen, they're using the subscription less. Is it a function of more competition in the
more
market?
More competition, I think.
You think it's more competition?
Yeah.
I think so too, you know. So that, I think, is even a bit of a worry trend then, because earlier the plan was to broaden its exposure beyond United States, but clearly that deceleration
is
taking place.
There is one bright spot, which is Asia though, but the rest of the world we're seeing a gradual decline in terms of the growth of new subscribers. Of course, not helped by the fact that the sanctions on Russia meant that 700 subscribers in Russia automatically disappeared overnight because they closed their service there.
Yeah, and I was looking at this and thinking about the long-term possibility of this stock, because I think Wedbush Michael Panter was also saying the same thing, that if you were to look long-term, the consumer trend seems to want to convert their cable subscription to Netflix. So there is still this hope that this may be a stock to hold.
Well, the market thinks so. Target price for this stock still remains $500, 31 buys, 17 holds, 3 sells at this moment.
Well, hopefully that's an aberration. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.